This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Think there's a better song to play than the Floyd Monday.
It is 4:36 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly with you. Not as cool as Sid Barrett, but also not as deranged and no LSD. Thank you. We are joined on the line on News Radio 930 WBEN to talk about what's going on with your investments. Glenn Wiggle from the Financial Guys is with us, only to show that he is every bit as talented as Mike Lomas, who was on with us last week. It's kind of a rivalry, I think, and that's okay. Rivalries produce better results. Glenn Wiggle, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Appreciate being here.
Now, first of all, before we get going with Glenn Wiggle, Glenn, of course, is with the Financial Guys. He knows the markets. He knows money. He gets finance a hell of a lot more than I. And if you have questions for Glenn, I encourage and invite your call at 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Again, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Glenn, first things first, you want to recap the day on Wall Street?
Sure. We started off, you know, down as we've been the last couple of days. It was a pretty rough open. And then word leaked out that Trump potentially was going to delay the tariffs for potentially 90 days. So the markets turned positive, actually turned around quite quickly. Unfortunately, that turned out to be a false rumor. And the Trump administration came out late morning and dispelled that that rumor. And the markets turned around and went back the other way. Then later in the day, the messaging changed again. And Trump was open to potentially some negotiations, and the markets ended up turning out mixed. Because that's kind of the short synopsis of it. But a lot of mixed messaging from the White House, causing a lot of uncertainty, which is causing a lot of volatility.
Well, we talked about last week with Mike, the markets hate uncertainty. But the markets hate uncertainty even when, in the long run, it might be best for the United States?
It just hates uncertainty in general. And interestingly enough, sometimes when it gets certainty back, it turns positive, even if it's bad news, which is kind of interesting. So it's a not knowing that I think is the worst part for Wall Street, not understanding what the rules are going to be of the game and how to adjust to those rules. And I think that's been a big issue from this administration and for the last month or so. It's been changing the numbers and changing kind of the messaging. And, you know, that uncertainty is really kind of, you know, put a giant question mark in the heads of a lot of, you know, Wall Street pundits that, you know, what is the next move going to be, or what is the goal of some of these tariffs? And that's also come into question. So that uncertainty is good, what's going to cause the volatility. I remember back to 98, I think it was, and we've been doing this for a long time, Mike and I. And I remember we were waiting on to decide if, I think it was Clinton was going to be, you know, held in contempt or not, right? If he was going to really be impeached or held in contempt or whatever it was. And the bad news was what came out. He indeed came out and did, you know, admit to the affair with Monica Lewinsky, and the market rallied. It was, but I'm waiting for the news. It was down and down and down because of that uncertainty. And of course, the worst outcome came out. He did have the affair, and the markets went up. So again, sometimes certainty, even if it's bad, just because it's certainty can help the markets kind of digest what the news is and adjust to it and go up.
I was in contact with somebody from a local House member's office today, and they have been absolutely swamped with calls from people concerned about the tariffs and the effect on the market. I'm sure that things are no different at the financial guys.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we've gotten a lot of calls the last couple of days, you know, mostly from clients that have been with us for just the last couple of years. The clients, we have a lot of clients that have been with us for 25 and 30 years, and, you know, they've been through a lot of down markets, and they know. In fact, I talked to one this morning just as a normal course of our six-month reviews, and, you know, he had no issues, no concerns at all. He said, I've been through this with you before, Glenn, and we've been through a lot of worse times, and I know you guys will make the right adjustments, and I'll come through it okay on the other side. And so, you know, so those conversations happen as well, where there's a lot of folks that are comfortable because they know that we've been through this together. But it's those newer clients, you know, the ones that have only been with us that haven't gone through a real bad market, or those newer investors to the market. You know, we've got some younger investors, and this is their first go around with putting money in. And so, you know, naturally, they've got some concerns not having the experience of some more seasoned investors.
Well, let's before we start taking some telephone calls, can we talk a little bit about the effect of one's retirement time horizon on how one views the dips in the market?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean, the longer you have, of course, the more you can ride out the dips, and the more you know, you can kind of look at the long term and be more aggressive in some cases. You know, when it comes to retirement planning, setting up the income properly is really important. And so for some people, they've got more assets than they need. They've done a really good job in savings, and they have the luxury of being able to invest in things that provide a fixed income. And so they can be less worried about the volatility in the market. We've got a lot of clients that own, you know, plenty of bonds and plenty of treasury bills and plenty of stocks that pay dividends, where they don't have to worry about ever liquidating any shares to meet their income needs. There are other people, however, that are not as fortunate to be in that position. And sometimes they have to liquidate certain things to raise capital to meet those distribution needs. And those clients need to be a little more cautious when it comes to investing, because obviously you don't want to have to liquidate shares when they're down to necessarily meet those investment or those income goals. It's kind of dollar cost averaging in reverse, right? We've heard the positives of dollar cost averaging in your 401k, investing systematically. When the markets are volatile, you buy more shares at a cheaper price. The same is true in reverse, however, and it's negative because you're selling more shares at a lower price, right? And so it takes more shares to sell to meet that same income need. So it all depends on your circumstances. If you are fortunate enough to be able to use fixed income or dividend paying stocks or real estate to drive your income needs, or, you know, then you're in better position than those that have to rely on maybe liquidating.
Glenn Wiggle is with the Financial Guys. And if you're somebody who is saying, what in the heck is going on with my investments? My 401k has nosedived. It's spiraled into the ground. You might have a question or two for Glenn Wiggle of the Financial Guys here on the Trocare College WBEN live line. The phone number is 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get to Diane in Buffalo, and Tanner's going to do the honors.
Hi,
here.
Glenn.
Diane, welcome to the show. You're on WBEN.
I'm concerned about we're $37 trillion in debt, and we've been borrowing money from, was it China, to, you know, give to, like, Ukraine and Israel and, you know, all over the world. What is going to happen about that? Do you know?
Well, it's a great question. I think the goal is to try to pay that down, right? That's what a big part of these tariffs are all about, is raising more capital. That and the Doge work on, you know, rooting out some of the waste and fraud and things like that. Look, we've grown our debt ridiculous. I mean, in the last, say, 20 years, in 2006, our debt was $6 trillion. It's $37 trillion today.
Yeah.
That's a $31 trillion increase in 20 years. Just in the last 4 years, it's gone up by $10 trillion, nine and a half roughly. That is absolutely unsustainable. The Trump administration knows this, mm-hmm. And is trying to avoid a big collapse at some point.
Right.
And so making adjustments today to pay down that debt is critical for our long-term health as a country, for sure.
One thing I want everybody to know, because I listen to Trump, maybe other people are not paying attention, but Trump says, we have to do this. It's do or die. Because, you know, our the way things are going, we can't keep doing this. And Trump has got all these incentives. I think he said he's going to get rid of the federal tax and everything. So businesses, maybe they won't come to New York, or maybe they will come to New York, but they're just going to come back to the United States. And he has, you know, if New York gives these businesses a hard time, Trump will just say, well, New York, well, I'm not giving you any money. The federal government is cutting you off, you know?
Well, we can ask the people in Maine about that. Okay, Diane, a couple of things there. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Number one, the president has referred to the tariffs and the ensuing pain on Wall Street along medical terms, Glenn. The patient has gone through an operation and now has to go into recovery. Is that a fair analogy by President Trump?
I think it is. I mean, we definitely have some adjustments to make, and he's making those adjustments, however painful they are. I don't think they have to be painful in the long term. I think it's going to be short. As I've said for months now, you might very well take one step back to take nine or 10 steps forward. We've expressed concern about a potential recession as far back as December before we even took office, just based on the fact that the amount of money being pulled out of the economy that the federal government shoves into it could be a shock to the system. But the shock to the system right now, of course, is a potential for tariffs and changing of the world order of things, which I think in the long term is a positive. Since the 90s, we have seen our American manufacturing hollowed out. We've seen awful moves made by former presidents, including Barack Obama, doing things like selling, our uranium rights and things like that. What Trump is trying to do is put the United States first and on a better footing, not only economically worldwide, not only trade-wise, but also, I think, from a defense standpoint. You know, being reliant on other countries for our, things like rare earth minerals or uranium is a huge problem. And that's a defense problem, not having manufacturing. If we didn't have our auto industry in World War II, we'd have been cooked. Without being able to turn those factories into bomb making and military equipment.
Not to mention the pharmaceutical industry. I'm not a big fan of big pharma, but let's face it, if our country cannot produce enough antibiotics for its own citizens, I view that as a national security issue, just as I would view failure to have proper parts for our military gear. That's a national security thing. Glenn Wiggle is with us from the Financial Guys. Your calls, 803-0930. We've got so much to talk about with Glenn, and we're very grateful that he's taken the time to join us today because he is a very busy man. Here is James in Cheektowaga. James, welcome to the show. You are on with Glenn Wiggle.
So Glenn, I wanted some clarity on a question I was asking the screener. 07-08, we had the housing market collapse. The Dow was down, 1,200 points, and they ceased trading on the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
The last 3-4 weeks, we're down, 2,300, 2,400 points, if not more?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody acts like it's business as usual. What's perplexing to me, and I'm a Trump supporter of getting our country, making America first, making us better. But my question is, at 54 years old, I started IRAs when I was 18, 19 years old, give or take. We had this facade that, when I was 59 and a half, I was going to have $1.2 million in an IRA. My fear is every 10 years we've gone through these back where the stock market has fallen out. I feel like when I'm 59 and a half, I'm going to have what I initially invested. But I guess what my question is, why isn't there this big fear there anymore when we take a 1,000 or 1,200 point drop in the stock market?
What a great question, James, and kudos to you for starting your retirement at the age of 19 or 20. That is outstanding. Glenn, you want to handle that?
Yeah, good for you, James, for starting early for sure. A couple things there. Number one, we went through in 2000 to 2003 and 2008 two substantial corrections of more than 50%, right? I mean, 2000 was a three-year route where the market was down for three straight years. Of course, we had 9/11 during that time. A lot of bad stuff going on. So when you look at the period of time from 2000 to 2010, the S&P basically is flat. I mean, the average annual rate of return is almost zero over that entire, so they would call it the lost decade. And so I certainly understand where you're coming from and how you feel. It's frustrating depending on, where you end. And sometimes if you're ending on a down point, you feel like you're right back to the start. 2000 and 2008 were both structural issues, not easily fixed, right? And so 2000, we had a way overspending going in the Y2K. That, all the computers are going to crash. And so businesses spent way years in advance. And then, of course, that spending came to a screeching halt and the markets and the tech pulled back substantially. Right? Went down 80% actually from top to bottom on the NASDAQ. 2008, same thing. Not an easy fix. Right. We gave people money of, loans on houses and things that they were never going to be able to pay back. People got way underwater. Not an easy fix. COVID was an easy fix. It was a bad policy decision, ultimately, that drove the markets down by closing the economy and shutting down our businesses, which Mike and I said at the time was an awful decision. But we did it. But because it was easily reversed, right, we just reopened the economy again, the markets bounced back very quickly in a Y shape. This feels like that. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know if we go down further or where we end up at the bottom. I don't know. I don't know what the recovery looks like, right? But this feels a lot like that because it's bad policy and bad communications that's causing this volatility, right? If we can change that, right? We can back off on tariffs. We can better clarify what our goals are or what those tariffs are going to be and stick with the solid policy. So there's a way for us to change course, and I think that's why the markets are kind of, I don't say holding in there because certainly they're down a lot in the last couple of days, but why I think, you know, the fear of a 2008 kind of crash is not quite there. The question of why aren't people as concerned about a 1,000-point or 2,000-point dip? Because if you look on a percentage basis, you know, back in 2008 when the Dow dropped by 1,000 points, that was a 10% drop. The Dow was at 10,000 at the time. You know, now that would be the equivalent of a 3,700-point drop. We haven't had that quite yet. We've had a 2,000-plus point drop, and that was bad last week. And certainly people were concerned about it, including the experts on Wall Street. But there's not that panic yet because I think on a percentage basis, it's not quite as bad as we saw back in 08. And because it's really a kind of a bad policy and a bad communication, that can be undone if we change or if countries come to the table and we renegotiate, you know, better trade deals. So these things can all change very quickly, whereas in 2008, you know, there was a lot of underwater inventory housing, you know, the debt that had to be worked in the system. We're not in that situation right now.
James, great questions, and kudos to you again for starting your retirement at 19 mm-hmm. or 20. That's awesome, man. Not many people have that kind of foresight. You did. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
It's James in Cheektowaga. Glenn, you believe that the tariffs are bad policy?
I do. I'm a free trade guy, so I understand why he's doing it. I would rather get to a zero, you know, and I think that is potentially his goal. He stated that as a potential goal, but, you know, he's also stated other things as a potential goal. And I think that's part of the problem is are tariffs going to be the tax that replaces the income tax, or is the goal to get trade down to a free trade and a better, more fair trade environment? He said both things, and I think that's part of the confusion. You know, I would rather have negotiated first and then slap people with tariffs, you know, but that's not Trump's, you know, that's not his style. Right. And I know that. And we all know that, you know, Trump is kind of strike first and then hope to bring people to the table in that way. I think, you know, that style is, you know, a bull in a china shop kind of style where you're breaking a lot of things. But I think, ultimately in the long term, I think, it will be the right thing if he can get, you know, trade down to a lower amount, or if we do keep tariffs, but eliminates or substantially reduces the income tax. I haven't seen those income tax proposals, and that's what's a bit frustrating. I've heard about a few things, right, like no tax on tips or getting rid of Social Security, tax on Social Security, but I haven't seen any solid proposals on really lowering, you know, tax brackets across the board, which is what I would like to see. You know,
yeah, that came
all
up
for lowering anybody's taxes, but yeah, good, sorry.
Well, no, I'm just what you talked about, the countries coming to the table. So far, about 50 countries have reached out to the executive branch of government saying, hey, we're ready to talk now. That's the last mm-hmm. number that I have. And I don't know what the end game is here, Glenn, any more than you do, but I need you to hold on. Glenn Wiggle from the Financial Guys is on the Trocare College WBEN live line. And believe me, he's got thousands of clients who would all love to speak with Glenn, but he's generously donating his time to us here on News Radio 930 WBEN. He's made you, the listener, and your question a priority today. And we're very grateful for Glenn Wiggle of the Financial Guys. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930, plus he's good friends with Brad Stamm, who's a really nice guy, too. News Radio 930, WBEN. You know, I don't mind saying this. This has been a really kick-butt show, especially for a Monday. So that's because of you guys calling in with great questions and comments. Much appreciated. And on the Trocare College WBEN live line, we have Glenn Wiggle of the Financial Guys. And obviously, you are concerned about the markets. You've got money invested. And, hey, you're in your mid to late 50s. You're looking at your 401k balance thinking, oh, this is not good. And obviously, before you even invested, your investment advisor talked to you about your risk tolerance and stuff like that. And of course, considered your time horizon. Some people are in a place where preservation of capital is important, and other people are in a place where they can afford, because of time not being such a factor, to get into some greater risk but higher return on investment possibilities. Glenn Wiggle with the Financial Guys on WBEN. Glenn, you said something that I have to follow up on prior to the 5 o'clock news, but I want to give out the phone numbers because I really want to hear from as many people as possible, because you are generously donating your time, putting multimillionaires on hold to speak with the multimillionaires in my audience. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. You had mentioned the federal income tax, and during the campaign, it was floated that the president wanted to have the external revenue service and do away with the internal revenue service, which a lot of people saw as, hey, could this be the end of the federal income tax? But we haven't had any specifics yet. What are the chances of a cessation of the federal income tax, which, by the way, I'm not even sure that that's legal?
Well, I mean, I think going to zero is the chances are slim. I mean, I'd love to see it, of course, but I think the odds of that are very, very low. It would be nice, but what I think we could see, and I think we need to see, is a lowering across the board of not only corporate taxes, another round of corporate taxes, which we need to make permanent, by the way, because those are set to expire next year, but also on the personal side. I mean, the top tax bracket is still 37%, right? So, when you add on New York State, you're at 45. By the time you buy something with sales tax, you're at 55. And so, losing 55% of your income is pretty steep. So, I'm hoping that we see an across-the-board reduction on tax rates for all income tax brackets, including the highest, all the way down to the lowest. I think there's a lot of cutting that can happen. You can do that.
I'm sorry, you can do that, and then you cut out. Glenn? Glenn has cut out. He's not leaving us. He simply took a momentary hiatus due to some technical issue, which we shall resolve. But there was his answer on the federal income tax. Don't expect it to go to zero, but it would be nice. But we have no guarantee that it will be significantly reduced. So our phone number with Glenn Wiggle of the Financial Guys, as we try to reestablish contact with Glenn, is 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I also wanted to ask Glenn, and hopefully we'll have a chance to get to it, but I want to get to some telephone calls first, about the Federal Reserve. And are its days possibly numbered? Will the Federal Reserve be merged into Treasury? And mortgage rates. You might have seen some reports over the weekend that it is thought that the mortgage rates, the 30-year fixed loans, may see 4 different cuts this year. We shall see. Let's get back to Glenn Wiggle on News Radio 930 WBEN. Glenn, that was obviously deep state suppression and interference with the comments that you were making, and I'd like to apologize on behalf of the deep state.
Yeah, must have been. I can hear you fine, but sorry about that. Anyway, what I was going to say is you can eliminate or substantially lower the income tax and have lower tariffs if you slash the size of government. And I think that's, part of the overall strategy. But, the part 2 and 3 have to come, quickly, right? So you've got the negative part. He's kind of led with the bad news. It's like a good news, bad news scenario. The good news is we may lower our income tax and slash the size of government, which would unleash substantial economic growth in this country, which would be great. We also have to add deregulation to that. The bad news is we're going to have some tariffs in order to get there, right? He led with the bad news, which is obviously causing the market to go down. But I think that the overall strategy is, to have lower income taxes, have lower tariffs, more free trade, and a smaller government. If we can get all three of those things in place, then hot dog, we can get the 4-6%, growth rates again. I just wish he would have started with the tax cuts and some of the positives first, and then maybe brought in the tariffs second, but not his style again.
Well, you got to go through the vegetables before the dessert, Glenn. let's go to Brian. Yeah, listen to me talking to Glenn like I know more than he does. Yeah, okay. Here is, that's arrogant of me, Brian in North Buffalo. You're on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. It's been a while. I'm going to be turning 60 on Friday. And the prospects of my retirement are diminished because of these tariffs. These tariffs are artificial. It's an artificial wall that they're putting up to get investment. I understand to get investment back in the U.S. All right, but it's not going to sustain. That's the problem. Is that it's like when they lower the interest rates down to zero, if you remember. It was an artificial thing. It was a bump. It was a Keynesian type of bump that lowered and increased inflation.
Check out the big brain on Brian. A Keynesian bump. Well played, Brian. So, like Glenn, you're not in favor of the tariffs, but you also are going to be turning 60 soon, young man, and you have some concerns about what this is doing to your portfolio, if I understand you correctly.
No, I'm going to my retirement plan right now is death, which is not good. I'm a CPA. I should have figured this stuff out a long time ago. I partied too hard in the 80s. What I'm left with is looking at these tariffs. Hey, I'm looking right now at some Chinese stuff that I bought off of Temu. All right. Mm-hmm. And I'm drinking, I guess it is Molson Golden. All right. All these things are going to go up. And I'm not happy about that. When you look at things like comparative versus competitive advantage, this is microeconomics. And by the way, I enjoyed both economics classes because my teacher was hot enough for me to get up in the morning.
Well, so is Glenn, and so am I, Brian, just so you know. So, I mean, Brian, I understand what your points are, I think, and I know from where you are coming. Is there a specific question that you wanted to raise with Glenn?
Actually, no. This is the first time I've talked to Glenn. I wish I had a question. I'm putting my comments in there to just say what the H. And I really think it's short-sighted with these tariffs. And I, for a guy like me, maybe for your grandchildren, bringing this stuff back.
I don't think it'll take long, but I hear what
Brian,
you're saying.
Thank you very much, Brian. Good to talk to you again. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off, Brian, but I hear what you're saying, right? If you just have the increase in tariffs without the tax relief, then 100% you're right. All you get is more taxes, and that's bad, right? So you have to couple this with tax relief. So let's say if you're going to pay another 20% for goods being imported, you know, if you can keep 20% more of your income, then it's a wash, right? And so I think that is his ultimate goal. Again, he's led with the tariffs, right? Because he can control that very easily. Tax reform has to come through Congress, which is another huge concern, right, of mine and probably everybody else on Wall Street is, you know, these slugs in Congress, you know, can they get it done? You know, it's really easy for Trump to you know, sign an executive order for a tariff. It's a lot harder to get Congress to negotiate out a decent tax deal where the Democrats are going to want to block everything and half the Republicans are useless. So there's a gamble here, you know, and if he doesn't get the tax reform done, then yes, you're left with nothing but higher expenses. And that's not great for anybody.
Okay. Question, Glenn. The Federal Reserve, everybody's favorite creature from Jekyll Island. The question is, are we looking at an end to the Federal Reserve and its incredible influence over the American economy and American government and it being folded into Treasury?
Well, they've talked about it. I don't know if they will completely eliminate it, but I can see a diminished role and I can see them definitely combining some things. You know, the Federal Reserve changed their mission a long time ago, and it's been, to my opinion, a lot of negative ever since. The Federal Reserve's mission has always been to maintain a stable dollar, right? In the 90s, Alan Greenspan changed that. He decided that he was going to in his arrogance, I think, used the Federal Reserve and the control over interest rates to what he called mute the business cycle, right? And those are his words, not mine. It was going to take out the high highs and the low lows and smooth out this S curve of a business cycle of the boom peak trough, you know, a bust trough kind of S curve. And what we've gotten ever since, unfortunately, is nothing but the opposite. It's been an exasperation of the business cycle. It's been higher highs and lower lows. It's been more swings and wilder swings. It's done the opposite of mute the business cycle. And ever since, the Federal Reserve has used their powers in a way to not necessarily maintain a stable dollar, but to try to drive stock market returns and economic growth, which is, again, not their stated mission. So if nothing else, it'd be nice to see them get back to their mission, which is just maintain that stable price environment, which is conducive to trade, not to take on these crusades of, influencing the stock market or worrying about, you know, where the economy is. I think, you know, part of the last decade, unfortunately, or longer, 15 years, I guess, time flies, we've had just really some lousy fiscal policy. And monetary and fiscal policy go hand in hand. It's like, you know, two legs of a body, right? They've got to work together to walk properly. And when fiscal policy for years has been, you know, fiscal policy coming out of the White House, tax policy out of Congress has been the opposite up until a little bit of during the Trump years. It's been, you know, really incumbent upon the Fed to kind of hop along and carry the weight to keep things moving. And so it'd be nice to get back to a balance with better fiscal policy, lower, you know, smaller budgets, smaller government, lower taxes, less regulation. And then the Fed can go back to their stated mission of maintaining a stable dollar.
On the Trocare College WBEN live line is Glenn Wiggle of the Financial Guys, the Financial Guys radio show, every Saturday afternoon here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Glenn, are we seeing the conception right now, beginning with the tariffs and even the confusion on Wall Street, are we seeing the beginning of a new worldwide economic order, a new worldwide financial system? For example, a departure from the SWIFT system in favor of blockchain technology, or blockchain technology augmenting SWIFT, because SWIFT certainly has its downfalls in terms of speed and expense. Blockchain is fast and it's cheap. Is this the beginning of the end of what we have come to know in our lives? Is this the beginning of the end, for example, of the petrodollar?
I think you're going to see a lot of changes over the next several years with Elon Musk as part of this administration. I mean, I think Trump is looking to do transformative things. You know, he's thinking, you know, big, big things, much like Reagan did in the 80s. And so I think with Elon on board and the brain power he brings to the table, anything is possible, right? I mean, technology for all kinds of things. You know, AI, of course, is a huge part of that. You know, that's been our theme for the last several years now. AI coupled with robotics, you know, driving productivity. But there's so much you can do, and it's already being done with it, that it is improving, speeds, improving, workflows. It's improving, supply chains and things like that. So it's only a natural progression for it to begin to improve, financial transactions and, open the world up maybe for again, more free trade, quicker transactions, quicker worldwide, currency changes and things like that. I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think AI is, the technology that we have today and the power of these tiny microchips is so substantial that it is transformative like the internet was. I mean, can we all think back to before the time of the internet? You couldn't move documents. I mean, then we've got faxes. You could send a black and white couple pages, maybe, right? Now you can move whole volumes of encyclopedias at the click of a button in seconds. It's incredible, right? I mean, you've got the entire world knowledge in the palm of your hand with an iPhone. The technology in the last 25, 30 years changed so quickly in just a few short years. I mean, by the end of the 90s, we were doing things a lot differently that we couldn't have ever imagined. I think we're going to see the same thing here with technology. I think we're going to have some bumps along the way with the tariffs and things like that. But I think that the underlying theme is still the same for us, and that is the technology and AI coupled with robotics driving transformative change, the likes of which we haven't seen since the internet advent and widespread use in the 90s.
And of course, you know, with some of these technologies, financially, you've got great utility in terms of replacing antiquated and older methods of transferring money, for example.
Absolutely. Transferring money, transferring information, you know, just doing, you know, mundane tasks, information research. I mean, there's so many things that we can do with the advancements in technology that it is super exciting. And looking at the future, it's I think it's super bright for the United States especially.
Stand by, another half hour to go with Glenn Wiggle of the Financial Guys. If you want to get in with a question or comment for Glenn on what's going on with Wall Street, what's going on in the entire, all of the financial ecosystems, Glenn is a great guy with whom to speak. You don't need to call in now, but when we head into the commercials during the 5:30 news, probably be a good time to get you on hold so you can ask your question of Glenn Wiggle. The number is 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN and the Trocare College WBEN live line. Glenn Wiggle of the Financial Guys. And you can hear their radio show every Saturday afternoon on News Radio 930 WBEN. And obviously talking about the situation right now with your investments as well as the tariff situation. And a lot of you have very genuine concerns about where you are in terms of what happened since the tariff announcement came. And if you have questions for a guy who actually knows of what he speaks, Glenn Wiggle is here to help you out. And the phone number is 803-0930. That's in the 716. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. One asset class we have not discussed is precious metals and those kinds of commodities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, precious metals, commodities, there's a lot of alternative asset classes that folks can look at. You know, sometimes we'll include that, sometimes we don't, depending on the allocation, the tolerance for risk. And speaking of allocation, you know, just getting back to kind of a thought on James's question before, I know a lot of people feel like James does. I think it was James, where they're on the roller coaster ride and, you know, they've been up, they've been back down. They've been up and they're back, you know, it's like they just never really get anywhere. If you can just set a, you know, figure out your risk tolerance, whatever that number is, right? And then figure out what allocation goes with that. Let's just say your balance and that's a 60 stock, 40 bond or 65 stock, 35 bond mix, whether that includes commodities or real estate or not. Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. There are a lot of allocation models out there that you can choose from. If you do that, though, and then you stick with that allocation, right, over long periods of time, 5, 10 years or longer, and you strategically rebalance, right, either rebalance every 6 months automatically or take periods like now when things get out of whack more than, let's say, 5 or 10%. You know, if you're 65, 35, and suddenly you find yourself 55, 45 because the stock market has dropped and the bonds have gone up, that may be a good time to trigger a simple rebalance. It kind of forces you to do the right thing, right? It forces you to sell bonds and buy stocks when they're down. And the flip side is true. When the markets, you know, were way high last year at the end of the year, and let's say you were, again, 65-35, you may have ended the year at 75-25. You know, again, an opportunity to maybe say, okay, I'm going to trigger another rebalance. You know, set those parameters for yourself. And if you do that, you'll find that you're taking and harvesting gains when the markets are up, and you're buying things cheaper when the markets are on sale. And if you do that over long periods of time, you'll be in better shape than just simply buying and holding. And that very well could include commodities. But if you do include commodities, you know, make it a 3 or 4 or 5%, no more than 5% portion of your portfolio. I see people make just way too wholesale changes, way too big adjustments. Like I'm going 100% cash or 50% gold or whatever. Subtle adjustments, you know, rebalancing and things like that. You know, going back and selling 10% of your stocks and buying bonds or selling 10% of bonds and buying stocks. That back and forth and subtle adjustments over long periods of time are going to get you a lot further ahead than making, you know, trying to time markets and make wholesale changes.
Well, you know, you just brought up something a lot of people consider to be historically a less volatile, more stable asset class, and that is the bonds. Now, we had a caller earlier who suspects that China and Russia will do a bond dump to destroy the United States economy. Do you see that? Is that even possible?
I don't think that's the case. I mean, China could do it, Russia now, but you know, of course, that's their biggest market again. So that's the benefit of global trade. That's the benefit of having more, you know, interconnectivity with other countries, is that, you know, if China were to do that to their biggest market, that would also destroy their own economy. It's like the nuclear stuff. It's mutually assured destruction. Nobody wants to do that. China's not going to do that, neither is Russia. You know, they may strike back, and you're seeing that back and forth with the tariffs with China right now, especially. And I hope that gets resolved. But I think to commit an economic Armageddon like that would be crazy for any country to do.
Now, I brought this up earlier, but I'd like more of your thoughts on this, reading again over the weekend, getting ready, because I knew we were going to talk to one of you today. Mortgage rates, and I saw articles that we can expect the Fed to slash mortgage rates by, well, four times this year, four times within the next calendar year. Is that reasonable? And if it is, to what extent do you believe they're going to drop?
Well, the Fed cuts short-term rates, and that does affect everything, you know, not necessarily the mortgage rates specifically. Mortgage rates have already been falling as the housing market has gotten, you know, softer over the last several months. And so that's a positive. If we can get mortgage rates down a bit, if the Fed can cut rates, and that affects rates across the board, that would be a big positive overall. You know, it's tough to read the Fed. Will they cut four times? Well, that will depend on the economic situation, right? If we do go into a recession, which is probably a 50-50 chance at this point, then yeah, you'll see the Fed be more aggressive and probably cut, you know, four or five, maybe even more times. If we can stabilize here, though, and like I said earlier, if we can get the tax cuts and some of the regulatory relief that we need to go along with the tariffs, if you can add the good news along with the bad news, and you can balance things out, then I think the economy is actually not in bad shape, but I think it can improve, and I think the stock market can stabilize, and I think that could potentially lead to you know, very few cuts by the Fed, if any. So it will just depend on the economics, you know, situation, and, you know, where we are as the year kind of winds on.
Now, you just used the R word. Glenn Wiggle is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. If you've got concerns, questions about your particular stake in the market, obviously Glenn doesn't know your individual situation, but he can certainly address generalities. The number to call is 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. You know, a long time ago, there was this expression that a recession is when your neighbor is out of work, a depression is when you are out of work. What is the actual definition of a recession? How do you know you are in one?
A recession, the technical definition, is two quarters of contracting economic growth. So let's say if our economic GDP went from, you know, the 2% that it's at to a negative 1% for a quarter or two quarters, it's two consecutive quarters of down growth or negative GDP growth. That is the technical definition of a recession, unless Joe Biden's in office. And when that happens, then all bets are off. You know, the technical definition gets shifted and changed 50 ways till Sunday. And you saw that, you know, back in 2022.
You mean the former resident of the United States, resident of the White House?
Exactly.
The potato. Yeah. Okay.
The auto signature guy.
That guy. Yes, the auto pen. In terms of, you bring up Joe Biden, and I have to ask you this. When you see the vigor and the stamina of the Trump administration and the commander-in-chief, does that do nothing to instill some confidence in Wall Street and do away with some of the uncertainty, the idea that, look, this guy knows finance, he does deals, this is what he does?
I think it does instill some confidence. And I think, you know, yes, you're seeing a pretty ugly sell-off, but there's a lot of pockets of strength. There's a lot of companies that, although they're down off their highs, again, we have to remember the run-up that they've taken. But you look at companies like a Netflix or a AppLovin, or there's you know, Costco. There's a lot of companies that have not seen anywhere near the correction, or they have, but they've been, you know, they've run up so far that they're right back to where they were just a couple months ago. And so you're seeing a lot of pockets of strength. You know, if we had if there was no confidence, you'd probably see broader selling in every pocket. You saw that in 2022. Every single sector of the S&P was down except for oil and gas in 2022, right? Bad policy, zero confidence. Right now we have some confidence, and so you're seeing some pockets of strength, and I think that will help the markets recover quickly. But again, the communication from the White House has been awful. You know, it's been, you know, the waffling on, we're going to negotiate. No, we're not. Tariffs are to replace income tax. We know we want to get the free trade. They need to pick a policy, and they need to pick a message, and they need to articulate it clearly and stick with it.
But Glenn, strategically, if the goal of the president is to get better trade deals in the long run for the United States, doesn't it make sense to have a little bit of confusion in the air because he's playing to the other countries? He's not necessarily playing to Wall Street.
Well, that's what he likes. I mean, that is absolutely Trump's MO, as he likes to create as much uncertainty in the people he's trying to negotiate with as possible so they have no idea of what his next move is. And, you know, that may be great from a negotiating tactic, but definitely is not great for Wall Street. And again, you're seeing the results of that. So, you know, he's got to be careful here because, again, he's relying on Congress to come up with the second half of his economic plan, and that is lowering tax rates. You know, we've got a very slim margin, and we've got a lot of Republicans in Congress that are, you know, lacking a backbone, to say the least. So, you know, it's a gamble on his part. I mean, he likes to gamble. I mean, he definitely doesn't have a problem doing that, but it is a gamble nonetheless. I think he'll be right on the gamble. I think he'll get it through. I think the political capital and the trust that he has from the and the support he has from the American public will be able to use that power and that political capital to get Congress to act in at least some way to get tax reform done. So I'm confident it will get done. I just wish he would talk about it more and maybe talk more about what that second half of that plan is. Talk about some of the positives that go along with the negatives. Right now, he's talking a lot about the negatives. You know, what the tariff's going to be tomorrow. You know, is it going to be 50? Is it 34? Is it 20? We don't know. You know,
Glenn,
the positives, it'd be good.
I've got about 90 seconds for you to answer this particular question. I personally believe, number one, the stock market always comes back. It always comes back. Number two, it's good to buy the dip with the caveat, you got to know what you're buying. Your thoughts?
Yeah, 100%. And if you're buying individual stocks, that kind of helps sometimes as opposed to buying mutual funds, only because you kind of know exactly what you're buying, right? And you can touch and feel and understand those companies and know those business models and those businesses. But obviously, if you don't have the assets to do that, then mutual funds are a great diversified, or ETFs are a good, you know, diversified basket. But yeah, you know, don't just buy indiscriminately and don't just go out there and buy the stuff that's at the bottom either. I mean, I think sometimes people have a tendency to want to bottom fish and buy deals, and sometimes things are on sale for a reason. So just be careful. You know, if you're doing it on your own, you know what you're getting into for sure. And maybe, again, dollar cost average. You don't need to try to time things. You don't need to be a hero. You know, putting in monthly, if you've got cash on the sidelines and you think now's a good time to invest and you've got the time horizon to do it, then, you know, maybe you do it over a couple of months as opposed to all in one shot. So just some things to keep in mind.
Yeah, that time horizon that we've talked about before. Glenn Wiggle of the Financial Guys is with us on the Trocar College WBEN live line. And Glenn, this is your opportunity to be both Einstein and Mr. Rogers. I would like you to offer some words of comfort or words of sage advice to people in pretty much every time horizon possible. And let's start out with those who are either retired or who plan to be soon retired.
Well, I think for everybody, I would start with a risk tolerance questionnaire. You mentioned that earlier. I think that's super important to figure out where you fall on that risk spectrum. And again, I'm going to use a balanced investor as somebody who is answering the score as kind of a moderate person. You might set up a 65-35 type of stock to bond mix. Our more aggressive investors might be 80-20. We have very few people that are 100% stock market or 100% fixed income. Usually there's going to be some balance on both sides, so that it gives us an opportunity to rebalance. So if you can figure out what that tolerance is, stick to that allocation over, you know, long periods of time, and then rebalance on a regular basis to allow yourself to harvest those gains and buy down when the stock market goes on sale or gets cheaper. For those that are near or at retirement, it's important to understand your personal situation and whether or not you're going to be able to drive enough income from your Social Security, any pensions you might have, and then from any income from your investments. And I think that's a big deal, right? If you can structure your portfolio to have investments, whether it's maybe some real estate, some bonds, some dividend paying stocks that can drive your income needs without having to liquidate securities, I think you're always going to be in a better position to insulate yourself against down markets like this. You know, for those that are, you know, there's teachers and especially professors at universities, they love these allocation funds. They love these time horizon funds. They own one fund and the thing does everything for you. It gets more conservative as you get closer to retirement. And then once you get to retirement, it does your allocation automatically for you. And that's great when you're accumulating money, but when you're distributing money, now you have nothing to sell. You have to sell the shares of that particular fund in order to drive your income, which is going to include not only the bond portion of that fund, but also the stock portion of that fund. So you deprive yourself the opportunity to take advantage of different asset classes and insulate your income by doing that. And so I would avoid doing that. And if you're in that situation where you're in retirement and have one of those funds, you know, look to break that out into the individual pieces so that if you did need to sell something, because let's say an emergency happened, roof fell in, whatever, you could always go to a portion of the portfolio, maybe the bond portion, to raise that income or that distribution that you need, as opposed to having to sell everything indiscriminately across your portfolio. So that, no matter what age you're at, I think you need to figure out what that tolerance is. Pick that allocation, stick with it. It doesn't mean that maybe your tolerance doesn't change over time. You know, things may happen in your life that may cause you to get more conservative or more aggressive. Just depends on where you feel you're at in your life. And so it's good from time to time to go back and revisit that risk tolerance and take it again once a year, once every couple of years, or when you think maybe circumstances have changed.
Sure. I mean, and obviously preservation of capital becomes more important the older you become, because the fewer risks you want to take, because the shorter your time horizon, at least for a lot of people. I'm sure it's different for the more adventurous investors. Glenn, what are you expecting tomorrow?
I think you're going to continue with the volatility. Again, it depends on, you know, right now we're waiting on China's response. And if China responds and, you know, it doesn't pull the tariffs back, then Trump's going to increase them again, which will cause more volatility. So you could see another down day tomorrow. You had a mixed day today. Again, it all depends on the communications from the White House. If Trump comes out or his team comes out tomorrow and says China's backing down, that may be viewed as a positive and the markets may rally. It's just, it's going to be day to day. So I would just, you know, hang on, you know, make, again, subtle adjustments and try to look at a longer period of time. You know, we talk about the markets are down, but really it's only been 6 weeks. You know, the correction hasn't, it's not been a year. It's not been 2 years. We're not in a long-term down cycle. We're in a short-term correction. And, you know, we hope it stays that way. But, you know, put it in perspective, you know, in the entire year of 2022, the S&P was down over almost 20%, 18%+ on the year, right? We're not near that level yet. We could go there, but we're not there yet. And so hopefully, you know, cooler heads will prevail. And hopefully some of these negotiations, I know there's been a lot of communication with the White House from a lot of countries around the world. Hopefully the positive will outweigh the negative. You know, Trump and his communications team has the ability to, again, you know, bring that messaging, right? Bring some of the positive messaging on tax reform and regulatory reform along with the negative of tariffs. And that would help a little bit of balancing the news cycle if they were to do something like that. So we'll see. Yeah. A lot can change overnight. And, you know, depending on, it's like minute to minute, depending on what comes out and what happens next. So always
Glenn
an
Wiggle.
Interesting Glenn Wiggle, interesting with President Trump. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you so much. And, you know, in a couple of years, you're going to be calling saying, wow, I just got off the White House. I just talked to President Trump. I said, please stop the winning, sir. I can't take winning. I'm not used to winning anymore. Thank you, Glenn Wiggle from the Financial Guys and the Financial Guys Radio Show, joining us on the Trocare College WBEN live line. And I want to thank all of you for listening and for all your calls today. It was really a darn good show. I did get a critical email because I made a reference when we played Money by Pink Floyd. I made a Syd Barrett reference. My dear sir, I'm well aware that Syd Barrett was not part of Dark Side of the Moon. Well aware of that. Thank you for being a good listener, but I was not trying to infer that Syd had anything to do with Dark Side of the Moon. However, he did show up unexpectedly during the recording of Shine On, You Crazy Diamond, and nobody knew who he was until Roger Waters saw him, recognized him, and burst into tears. I hope I've redeemed myself, Seth, in your eyes. It's 5:57. Thanks to Tanner Saunders for a magnificent job. Stand by. Tom Puckett is up next with Buffalo's Evening News, 6 to 7, and I will be back tomorrow, God willing, from 2 to 6, following the great David Bellavia. And David and I typically blow up each other's cell phones with text messages on pretty much a daily basis on News Radio 930 WBEN.